me, about my life. Examine speaks of an inspection. It's a thorough, a detailed inspection, determining the nature or condition. It's an investigation that is very and extremely thorough, if you would. So the psalmist is saying, hey, not only judge me here, as you judge me and you deal with me, if you find anything, listen, take it the next step further. Examine me thoroughly. Make sure that there is nothing wrong within my life. He says these words, examine me, O Lord, prove me, try my reins and my heart. Now, this proving here, we're going to deal with here in just a few moments as well, because he is later on going to say these words in verse number 11, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. Even the congregations will I bless the Lord. So this statement that he is making in verse number 2 of proving him, he is very simply calling on the Lord to judge him in a righteous manner, to examine him, to reveal if there's anything that does not need to be there, but also to prove him. And he later will go on and reveal all of the reasons why the Lord can prove him. What he means by the proving is, as he examines the psalmist here, as he judges the psalmist here, he is saying, all of the good and all of the righteous that I'm doing, make it clear to me. And the psalmist is going to rehearse some of these things. He's going to say in verse number 3, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Prove those things. I have walked in thy truth. Verse 4, I have not sat with the vain persons, neither will I go with the dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. So all of these things, the psalmist is saying, I have not done some of these things, and I will not do some of these things. The proving here is a reminder to the psalmist. As the psalmist is dealing with this statement of proving, if you would, it is a reaffirming or a reminder to him who his God is. Can I share with you, the psalmist has a desire here that every single one of us ought to have. And that desire is very simply to honor the Lord with his life. The reason that he is desiring that the Lord would judge him is because he wants to be righteous in his standing. The reason that he is asking the Lord to examine him is because he does not want to be in the wrong or do anything that he ought not be doing. The reason that he is wanting the psalmist or the Lord to prove him is so that the Lord would reveal to him who he is once again afresh and anew. So the psalmist here is calling out to the Lord to do some of these things that will remind him of how good and how great the Lord is. In verse number 7, he goes on and says these words, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. So in verses 1 on, he is desiring in verses 1 through 6 to please the Lord in some areas. Now, if you don't have a desire with your life to please the Lord, then you have to ask yourself this question. Are you only living your life to please yourself? Because every one of our desires, if it's rooted in truth, is ultimately going to be found in pleasing the Lord with our lives. But the moment that we go away from desiring to please the Lord, then we've probably more than likely fallen into the trap of trying to please ourselves. Well, our motives, our actions, our conversations, those that we hang around, the things that we do, the things that we partake of, the places that we go, the things that we watch, the things that we listen to, if we don't have any desire for the Lord to be honored and pleased in those things. You know, I go back as a child, and growing up, I know that there were certain things that my parents were okay with and certain things that my parents were not okay with. It was very understood. There was no gray area. It was not necessarily that, you know, I don't know where my parents stand on this. No, I knew what my stepdad was going to say about this, and I knew what my stepdad was going to say about that. I knew where they stood. And as I go back in my life and understand that those areas of black and white and knowing this is where they stood on these things and that they didn't want me to be living in a gray area was for my own good. Can I share with you the reason that the Lord desires us for us to walk in truth and to abide by the righteous commandments of this book is for our own good. The reason that he desires for us to walk with him and to abide in his presence and to seek after him and to seek after his will is because he is reminding us that his plan, his will, his purpose for our life is far greater than anything you could ever write up. If you were to go right this very moment and you were to take a blank book and you were to begin to write out what you think is the perfect story for your life. And so you started out and I take a blank book and I write, this is the story of Joshua Farmer. Born on August 17th, and I would go on and begin to write all of what I think was the greatest story of my life. it would have no comparison to what the story the Lord is trying to write right this moment. You see, because the Lord makes no mistakes. You see, if we were writing our story, there would be no trials. Would there? If we were writing our story, there would be no heartbreak. There would be no trouble. There would be no harm. It would be no struggle of our lives. There would be nothing that we would look back and say, this is just a pleasant story. Can I share with you? Don't have the picket fence syndrome. It's not reality. You see, the picket fence syndrome says there's never going to be any issues. There's never going to be any problems. There's never going to be any trials. All is going to be good. No, you see, it's in those times of trials where we draw closer to the Lord. He says, this is going to be a beautiful story. It's in those times where we find ourselves in a struggle where the reminder is, hey, this is going to be a beautiful story because I'm going to bring you through this, and all of a sudden you're going to experience the grace of God, and it's as though you experience the grace of God and the mercy of God, where right there, where it wasn't necessarily a pleasant time, but man, is it beautiful watching God bring you through it. You see, our story and God's stories look a little bit different. If I were to write my story, as I already mentioned, there probably we wouldn't have some of the trials and the struggles and some of those things that maybe we have gone through. But then whenever I take a step back and I try to see the bigger picture, I begin to go back at certain seasons whenever I say, why did this happen? And I stop asking the question, why did this happen? But Lord, what did you have for me in the midst of this? I start to see things from a different light. And I start to see that it was in that season where I found myself on my knees a lot more. It was in that season where I found myself in the Word of God a lot more and desiring to be in His presence a lot more. And all of a sudden, because of that season, it begins to build within my life some foundational pillars. That in that season, all of a sudden, in that season of a trial or a difficulty or whatever the case might be, there was a pillar of me getting on my knees that now is no longer just a pillar of me getting on my knees in that season, but now something has started. Every single day of my lives, I desire to be in His presence and get on my knees. All of a sudden, that it was in that season of difficulty or that trial where there was a pillar of me saying, Lord, I need to run to the Word, that it did not just all of a sudden fade off as the season became a little easier. No, all of a sudden a pillar was built right there where now I desire to get into God's Word every single day of my life. You see, it's in the trials of lives, it's in the difficulties of lives, it's in the uncertain times of lives where the Lord is trying to build some pillars within our lives that will last for a long, long time. And so our story, if we were writing it right this very moment, would look very much different from the Lord's story within our lives. And the psalmist here says these words, judge me, examine me, and prove me. He is saying very simply, Lord, with my life, I want to please you. But in verse 7, all of a sudden he begins to praise the Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. As he comes to a very simple close of this psalm in verse 11 and 12, he comes back to this proving, if you would, reaffirming who the Lord is. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. This statement, an even place, again, speaks of a solid rock, if you would. It speaks of something that is very firm. And so he says, my foot standeth in an even place, in the congregations will I bless the Lord. He is saying, Lord, remind me of your presence and who you are. And so you say, okay, you're saying here that his plea, examine me and judge me and prove me, is him saying that he wants to please the Lord. And he begins to shed some light on those things in which he was doing. Then you're telling me that he transitions from him revealing that he wants to please the Lord to now he is praising the Lord for his goodness and his mercy in his life and everything that he's experienced. And then you tell me that he is saying to the Lord, prove me, in the sense of reaffirming who his God is and reaffirm that he is on a solid rock and he has found an even place. And that is what he's doing. So where are the lessons? Where are the things that we ought to guard our lives from and make sure that we're giving attention to? Well, let's look closer at a couple of things this evening that I pray will be a help to you. Notice what he says in verse number 2. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins. And notice these last words. And my heart. Notice with me, if you would, five things that you ought to guard as we come to an end. Guard your heart. Number one, guard your heart. You see, our heart is very deceitful. It's very wicked. If you're not careful, you'll give your heart to things that were never meant for you to give your heart to. He says, examine me, O Lord, prove me, and try my reins and my heart. As you walk through Scripture, you'll find that the Lord is always trying to deal with the heart. You see, because what's in the heart will eventually come out. I remember there have been certain occasions, and I was just sharing this story a while back with somebody, but I remember at a specific occasion, I'm not going to share who it was or anything like that in case they're watching, but I remember there was a specific occasion that was taking place in an event at a family gathering, and I remember that someone had said something. And as soon as they said that, they said, "Oh, I didn't mean to say that." And here's the truth. You did mean to say it, you just didn't mean for it to be heard. You see, what was in the heart came out. And oftentimes within our lives, we think we've got ourselves full to the point that we're filling our heart with all of the junk of this world. The things that we're listening to, the things that we're watching, the things that we're attending, the things that we're allowing to be fed into our lives, and we're filling our lives with all of this junk, and all of a sudden what begins to take place within our heart will eventually come out. You see, that's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous life to live. The psalmist says these words, "Examine me and prove me." He is very simply bringing all the attention to his heart. He says these words, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." All throughout Scripture, the Lord is dealing with the heart, trying to remind us that the heart is very deceitful, very wicked. You've got to guard your heart. You've got to make sure that your heart is given to the Lord and the things of God. And so as you come to a close of this year, can I encourage you, one of the most important things you can do is guard your heart. You say, "Well, I'm just going to kind of live, and, you know, we've got all these resolutions that we can make, and so, you know, we'll just have a time in 2023 as we close out, and as soon as January 1st comes, I'll get my life back on track." No. Why wait? Why wait? There's no reason to wait. Why don't you start now? You know, as you begin to think about dealing with things right this very moment, this is something you ought to give attention to. Guard your heart. Notice what he says in verse number 3. "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." Notice with me, number 2, guard your eyes. Guard your eyes. As you begin to think about the society that we are living in, we are aware that there is a lot of filth out there. The things that you look at, the things that you see, you know, you go to stores and you see stuff. You go, and we were just in Gatlinburg, and while we were there, there was, you know, junk. We'll just say it that way. And we see it. You go to Nashville, you see junk. It's disturbing. You don't quite understand it. But one of the truths that we understand concerning all that is those people need Jesus as well. And they need the gospel. They need someone to show them the word of God and what the truth of God's word says. But there is a truth here for us tonight as he says these words, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." Can I ask you this question? What are you looking at? And who are you looking to? If every single day your eyes are focused on you, you've got your eyes focused on the wrong person. You see, every single day of our lives, we have an opportunity to lift our eyes and look to the Lord and say, "Lord, you lead me. Lord, you guide me. Lord, I want my footsteps to be in line with what you have for me every single day of my life." And as you consider this and you recognize what the Lord has for you, the psalmist is reminding us of that. The Bible says in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." As you're looking for the truth and you're looking to the truth, you'll find that it's very, very much pleasancy. You find the joy in it. You find a great joy in it. And so the psalmist reminds us of that. As he continues on, he says these words. Verse number 6, "I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord." Notice with me, if you would, guard your hands. Guard your hands. As you think about what you're giving your life's work to, and give it to a righteous work. And give it to the things that are necessary. Give it to the things that the Lord have for you. Don't be found in any idle work. Don't be found doing things you ought not be doing with your hands. Walk with the Lord and use your hands for the Lord and allow the Lord to bring you along this. Guard your heart and guard your eyes and guard your hands. And make sure that you're giving attention to these. Notice with me in verse number 7 what he says. "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." Guard your voice if you would. A couple of weeks ago we made mention of this, but every single day of your life you're using your voice for something. For some, you might be using your voice and you're saying things that you should not be saying. And so the testimony in the workplace and the testimony in other places that you are around often is that you have a lot of filth that comes out of your mouth. For some, it might be that you are a pleasant person to be around and you offer great hope to people in the sense of you're just a calming person. When you're around, people know that you're going to be an encourager and you're going to be someone that's there for them and you're going to be someone that's helping them and you're going to be someone that's letting them know that the Lord loves them and that there's hope and there's joy that's found in the things of God. And you're just one of those people. I don't know. But I do know this, that whether you're in the home or the workplace, in the house of God, or out in the community, will you use your voice for the righteous things? Use it in a positive way. You see, I was thinking about this just the other day as I was thinking about Brother R.B. Ouellette. And Brother R.B. Ouellette just recently had surgery and is unable to speak. And what a voice. You open his books and you can hear his voice. He isn't able to use that voice. But right before he was unable to use that voice, the very last thing that he did was he led a young lady to the Lord using his voice. I would say that's a right way to use your voice. Yet oftentimes we're found fussing, griping, complaining, talking down, talking about, doing whatever we can that is negative with our voice. Can I encourage you to guard your voice? You see, you're going to give an account to all of these things. The psalmist says these words, "Judge me, O Lord," in verse 1. "Examine me, O Lord," in verse 2. "Prove me, try my reins and my heart." Notice with me, number 5, in verse 11 and 12, he says this, "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, in the congregations will I bless the Lord." Can I encourage you? Guard your feet. Guard your feet. Where are you headed? You know, growing up, we were always in sports. And I remember whenever I was in sports and our coach would always be teaching us drills and basketball. And I remember we were actually just last night, Kelly wanted to watch some old videos. And so we pulled out that VCR player that I talked about earlier and we hooked it up. And all of a sudden it started playing. It was an old video of me playing basketball in sixth grade. And we watched it for about 45 seconds or so, and she was ready to watch her video, so I pulled it out, and me and Jackson go back and watch some of those videos later on, and he's been dying to watch it anyways. And I was thinking as I was watching that game, it was very funny because we turned it on. I said, "Man, that's Barry Turnbow." Barry Turnbow was my elementary basketball coach, and Barry Turnbow was a no-nonsense type of person. Fifth and sixth grade, that's what he was coaching. And he just did not play, and we started the game, and I mean within 15 to 20 seconds, he calls a timeout. We're fifth and sixth grade now, y'all. And Kelly said, "Man, we're already starting." I said, I tried to tell you. And, I mean, you can just see him. He's lighting into us over there. And we come out of the timeout and scored a couple of quick buckets. And I remember we'd be in practices and we would have to do suicides anytime we weren't paying attention. And our coach would always talk to us because if our feet were standing like this, he'd say, you're not going to be able to get to where you're getting. Look, he said, look where your feet are pointed. And so he'd be talking about where you're going you'd be having people that were trying to play defense like this. He'd say, "You can't play defense like that. You got to get your feet ready." And so he'd put our feet the right way, and he'd you know, help us to get to our spots and all this. But he was always talking about the direction in which our feet. Whenever we would be watching, when we'd be watching drills that were taking place, if we were watching film in fifth and sixth grade, we're taking this thing a little too serious, all right? But in fifth and sixth grade, we'd be doing drills, and all of a sudden he'd be pointing. He'd say, watch their hips and watch their motions. He said, memorize what they do consistently. Now, he was serious, fifth and sixth grade. But he was teaching us the foundations, and so he'd be teaching us to watch these things and watch the feet, because wherever the offensive player's foot was typically pointed is the direction they were trying to go. Can I share with you, that is the story of our lives. Where are you headed? Where are your feet pointed right this very moment? If your feet are pointed this way and God's way is this way, you're heading in the wrong direction. You see, your feet always ought to be pointed into the righteous things and making sure that you're walking in the right ways. And so guard your feet tonight. He says these words, "But as for me," notice this powerful statement, "I will walk in mine integrity. My foot standeth in an even place. The congregations will I bless the Lord." You see, the psalmist here is reminding us that in all things, he gets it. He understands. You say, "Well, how do you know he understands all this?" Notice what he says in verse 4, 5, and 6. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Notice these words, if you would, as we define these, and we will come to a close here in this moment. He says that he will not assemble with vain people, speaking of those who are idolatrous. He goes on and says he will not assemble with the dissemblers. Those would be the hypocrites, if you would. He goes on and says he will not associate with those who are evildoers. He will not assemble with the wicked. He is saying, I will not do these things. Can I share with you that every single parent in here, if your child were to come up to you and say, Mom, Dad, my friends chose to go and to do this, and I knew it was wrong, and so I chose not to. You'd be proud. You'd give them a hug. You'd say, I'm proud of you. You see, that would have been an easy thing for you to do. All your friends were doing that. You probably lost some of those friends, but I'm proud of you. Can I share with you that our Heavenly Father, every single time that we say, Father, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to partake of that. I don't have any desire that you're desiring to please the Father. Can I share with you that the Lord delights in His children walking in the light, walking in righteousness. So we find these things concerning these areas, guarding our heart, our eyes, our hands, our voice, and our feet. I'm sure we could elaborate on other things, but can I encourage you, as we come to a close of 2023, guard these things. Where's your heart? What are you looking at? Who are you looking at? Guard your feet. Where are you headed? What direction are you going? Guard your voice. What are the things that you're saying? What corrupt communication might be coming out of your mouth that needs to be addressed right this very moment? And where are your hands? What are they doing? How are you using your hands for the Lord and for His honor and for His glory? Guard these things as we come to a close. Lord, we do thank you tonight. Well, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to pay attention to these things. Lord, examine us, every single one of us. Lord, examine us right this moment. Lord, judge us right this moment. Lord, deal with us. Lord, prove us right this moment. Lord, I pray that you would examine every single one of us right now, Lord, as we're sitting in our seats. And Lord, as we're in this auditorium, Lord, examine us and Lord, reveal anything that needs to be addressed. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit conviction would fall upon any one of our lives right this moment. Lord, if we're saying things that we ought not be saying, Lord, if our heart is not right with you, Lord, if our hands are being used for idle work, Lord, if we're using our eyes to look at things that ought not be looked at, Lord, if our feet are heading in a direction that we ought not be going, I pray that you help us, Lord. May your grace and mercy be evident. Lord, help us to guard these things as we close out this year. May we close it out strong. Use this time of invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray.